Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, troubling times are here. I mean, there is no doubt about it. Now, if you doubt me, just turn on your evening news or watch the 24/7 talking heads on the news channels. All you'll hear is foreboding news about how terrible life is right now. They make it sound like the end is near. Well, I have some news for you. The end is near, praise God. The soon return of Jesus is closer than ever, and this world is beginning to enter the time that Jesus called the birth pains of the coming tribulation. And what is it that's about to happen? Why is all of this happening? What can we do this day and time in which we're living in? Well, to touch on these subjects, I've invited our good friend Tom Donnan to come back on the program today. I find myself wanting to talk to Tom more and more as I see basically more and more things going the wrong way in this world. And if you've been following us any length of time on this program, you're familiar with Tom Donnan also, and you know that every time Tom comes on the program, we may have a general outline that we've agreed on beforehand, but that does not mean we're going to stick to it. Amen. That rarely happens. Praise God. The Holy Spirit definitely guides our conversations. Amen. Help me welcome back to the program, evangelist, author, teacher, and someone who's on fire for God, Tom Donnan. Tom, thank you for taking the time back to join us today.
Pastor Bob, thank you for having me, and we have a lot of fun. And like you say, we never know where it's going to go because the Holy Spirit prompts us into a new thought process, and off we go.
Amen, amen. You know, Tom, we had a nor'easter snowstorm blow up the Atlantic coast these past few days, and you know, it simply amazes me how many people will rush out to the store and buy up all the toilet paper and bread and milk and things like that when they know, you know, in 2 or 3 days, this thing's going to be gone and life will get back to normal. You know, it just amazes me that they go into a panic like that. And all they're doing is adding to the shortages that are already happening all by themselves. I mean, back when this COVID lockdown started back in March and April of 2020, there were shortages of everything, it seemed like. Now that things are returning to some sense of normality, you know, even with the resurgence of the virus in some places, you know, we're still experiencing shortages. But it isn't because of people going out and hoarding toilet paper and things like that this time, though, is it?
No. No. I thought this was pretty interesting because as I got looking for information for today's interview, is that I came across this subject of the shipping containers, right? In the ships that ship the shipping containers. And the thing is that a lot of goods come from China and overseas into the United States. But what happens where here in the United States, we got 20% of our workers out because they have COVID, and then they're going to be offered a certain amount of time for quarantining and before they can come back to work. So this means that they can't offload the ships, which means the ships are sitting off port waiting to be unloaded, which means that in China, they can't even put them on the ship and they're stacked up all over the place because they're running out of room.
And these aren't small ships. I mean, you know, I was watching this video, and it showed, you know, these container ships. And from the distance, you know, you can see, okay, well, these are those, you know, like the boxes on the 18-wheelers. And we think those boxes are big. But then when they get them on the ship, I mean, there's like, you know, 10 across and 10 high. And that's just what's on top of the deck. That's not counting what's underneath, you know. And these ships are like 1,000 feet long. I mean, just packed to the brim with cargo containers. And the video said that would they have something like 70-some ships just anchored off the port of Los Angeles waiting to come on shore, you know, to dock so they can get offloaded?
I mean, yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. Look at that stereo. Yeah. It is amazing. And that was just one port. There was multiple ports that had ships out there waiting for it to come out, to come in. And the thing is that look at all the products that can be stored inside of a container. Mm-hmm. No. And so as I'm walking through the stores during these different changes that are going on, is that I'm looking at the amount of products that are on there. And I noticed that really there hasn't been a complete sellout. There might be, except for like the toilet paper a while ago, because we didn't know how this was going to go. No, And that's an interesting aspect, too, is that when I looked into that, I didn't realize that 60% of the toilet paper that are that is produced is for like businesses and corporations and, you know, like hospitals and stuff like that. And only 40% is produced for single, you know, homes and stuff like that. So when people started rushing for it, it was because the supply wasn't being made as much as the industrial use. And so it didn't take long before they consumed everything that was on the shelves. So they had to make a, how would you say it, increase the productivity in that area. But yet, as I go through, and when you go through Walmart, I mean, I walked into a Walmart one time and I said to myself, Lord, I cannot believe the amount of products that human beings can, you know, purchase. This is like amazing. So as I'm going through it, you know, I'm keeping my eye out, especially in the grocery area. Are they really running out in different areas? They might get a little slim, but I never see the shelves being completely empty. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I remember, you know, during the heyday of, you know, like last March, April and stuff, the sanitizer, you know, the what they call it, Lysol wipes and things like that, just bare shelves everywhere. Toilet paper, paper towels, napkins, you know, even Kleenexes. I mean, come on. And then, you know, you get into that's just that area. And you go into the grocery store and, you know, milk, bread, you know, canned goods. Oh, Lord. You know, you, normally you see, you know, stocks and stocks of, you know, different types of soup and, you know, canned spaghetti and all that. They were all bare. I was like, really? What is – are you guys nuts? Good Lord. And then, you know, once it started getting restocked, what happens? I remember one time my wife and I walked into Costco. This is probably June or July. Things had settled down by then, you know, reopening here and there and all that stuff. We walked into Costco, and as we're just barely inside the door, we're probably, you know, 30 feet inside the door, this lady comes pushing out this great big cart with, you know, packages of the Lysol wipes and stuff like that. And I think there might have been five, and, you know, because Costco, you buy everything in bulk. There's like five wrapped up, you know, that'll be sold as one unit. And she says, would you all like some of these Lysol wipes? I goes, yeah, sure. She handed us a whole package of five. And she goes, yeah, you better get them now because, I mean, this was a whole cart full, right? There must have been, you know, 10 boxes full, easy, on there with, I don't know, maybe 10 inside a box. She goes, yeah, all these will be gone in about 6-7 minutes.
Oh, gee. Oh, man.
We just happened to be walking, so we got our Lysol wipes, praise God. You know? Yeah. Well, we gave each a package to each of the kids, you know, the families.
Well, yeah. Okay, so back in February of last year, maybe February, towards the end of it, is that I could see where this was going. I knew where this was going, right? And so I went out and I bought the N95 mask because, you know, the thing is that my children are older. And so, you know, dad is a little strange with all this stuff. So I thought, well, I'm going to buy him some. Right. Yeah. Yep. So I bought my kids the mask to be ready and the wipes and stuff like that. And then this stuff hit. And eventually what happened is that, like my son said, he said, well, eventually, Dad, we're all going to be wearing a mask, which is true. And so in the beginning, it was kind of hard with these N95s because it's hard to breathe through them. You really have to work at it. And then the American ingenuity hit and came up with all these alternatives because you couldn't buy the surgical mask at the time because they were out. Yep. And so and that it caught up. There was a need. And in that need, somebody stepped up with their entrepreneurship and came up with this new design. And then off it was going and they fulfilled the need.
Yep, exactly. That's the American ingenuity. Find a need and fill it. Praise God. Amen. You know, speaking of things being shut down, schools have mainly been online since last spring. You know, teachers have been teaching at home. Now a lot of school districts are trying to reopen at least part-time to try and get the kids back into school. But now the teachers are balking. I mean, they claim, you know, they're worried about the virus and safety precautions and all that. But then some have been caught on, you know, vacation in tropical paradise and going to Disney World and complaining on social media that, you know, that they like working out at home because it's safer. But, you know, and now they can do their workouts and go shopping when they're not actually teaching, et cetera. I guess they don't realize that the technology today can expose them for not actually, quote unquote, being at home while they're supposedly on the clock for teaching. I mean, social media can be your friend, or it can be your enemy also sometimes. You know, speaking on that topic, have you seen some information recently about how your car can actually be an informant that will expose your secrets and confidential information to anybody with a technology to access its computer?
You and I have been having this technology conversation over the last year or so, and I'm always amazed at how much it is recording. No, I was just down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee on the 19th of December, and I went into a store, and I was in an Ararat boot store, okay? And so I was shopping. I want a new pair of boots, but it's hard for me to shop. So I'm in there like 20 minutes. And then I finally thought, okay, I'm going to go back to the hotel room for a little while to rest up. And so I'm looking at my Facebook page, and a commercial for Ararat boots show up.
Yep.
Right? Now, this isn't going to be just coming at random willy-nilly type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought to myself, I put on my thinking cap, and I thought to myself, okay, how did they know? And it became the GPS. I had my GPS thing on because I like to use it when I'm traveling, and I just left it on. And that GPS gave them the signal that I was in the app store for 20 minutes. And then somehow it's got this circuitry that just brings it all around to where they capitalize on it for advertisement. Now, that was a little scary for me, and it keeps on going down this road. But what happens with this car stuff? This is a shock to me. I've never heard this before. So when I was looking at this, I thought, wait a minute. Are you telling me that the memory and these computer chips that they have and the computer programs in the cars has a memory that stores all this information? Who would have thought that this information was being stored? I had no clue.
Yeah, amen. Well, I know the police have used this for many years because back when I was in law enforcement, I've been retired now. This June will be 10 years that I've been retired, but I know I've worked with our detectives and our crash reconstruction team, and they could access the car's computer and find out all sorts of information that would allow them to piece together various things that the car and passengers had been doing. You know, I mean, they had their formulas and stuff, and like with crash reconstruction, they used to tell the officers at the academy and in field training that you don't touch anything on the highway. As far as, if there was a big crash, if it was just, if nobody was going to be, shot off to the hospital in life-threatening conditions like that, you go ahead and clean everything up, get the roadway back open. But if there was a possibility that somebody was going to die, then the crash reconstruction team had to be called. It'd take them like an hour to get out, their whole team formed and get out there, and then they might be 3 hours on scene doing measurements. And, you didn't kick a mirror off to the side just to get it out of the way or something. They would go and measure every piece, like mirrors and, bumpers and stuff like that, and how far that was from the actual point of impact, because if they knew that mirror weighed, 1.37 pounds and it was 27 feet from the point of impact, they could, with their computers and all that stuff, they could determine to within probably half a mile an hour of how fast that car was traveling at the point of impact. And then they got where they could access these computers. And believe it or not, their calculations were pretty close. It'd be, instead of, it was traveling 77.3 miles per hour, it was traveling 77.28 miles per hour. Type thing, right? I mean, their formulas are pretty good. But, they would use that stuff to say, okay, this guy was cutting in and out of traffic, because the car's registering all this movement back and forth, left and right. He's doing 78 miles an hour. And we know from the traffic camera that it was, heavy traffic at the time. So he was definitely, taking things, being dangerous. So these computers would tell him all sorts of things. And then they got where they could access the GPS, and they find out that he just left a bar 15 minutes before that. all this stuff. So the police have been using it for years. But I didn't know that, not only is the police able to access this, which is good, because the video we watched gave some examples of, crimes that were being solved, murders that were being solved and stuff. But this technology, since you're dealing with computers and Wi-Fi and all this stuff, it can also be accessed by nefarious purposes, we'll say like that. And that's the part that has a lot of people worried right now.
Well, let's give the listener a little bit of idea of how the technology has been growing and how the information stored in there is also growing and being accumulated, not only the destinations, but your telephone logs are put there, plus emails and text messages and what is on the text messages. And if you send a picture where the picture was taken, videos that you watch, web searches, voice commands that you do, your social media access, phone contacts for the car. If you use the USB port, you know, the information that is gleaned from that, as well as the apps that are installed on your phone are then recorded in that. The data can be reconstructed for the vehicle's journey. It can show where you've been, what you've done, who you contacted, you know, were you preoccupied when you were driving, a whole bunch of stuff. And then, of course, the passenger's behavior is also recorded and monitored. They monitor the doors opening and closing.
Yeah, that's
the
amazing.
The seatbelts being used. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now here was the shocking part, is that this person that was doing the video, he had one of these newfangled cars, you know, 2019, with all of the bells and whistles on it. And he had put down on his phone the Ford app, right? Okay, so he was using the other car, his older car, for like, let's say, 2 weeks. And then he gets a text message from the car he's not using telling him, hey, it's been a while. Do you want me to shut down your primary system so that it's not using energy? Come on.
Hey, man. That's like Star Trek stuff.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, it's a little spooky to me to be able to see so much information about you. Yeah. You know, you've heard this thing where they say, if you would you have enough information out there to convict you for being a Christian?
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, with the technology today, they could do a whole lot more if they wanted to do that.
Yep.
No, and so I always think about, okay, who's watching? Who's watching what? I was driving through Atlanta one time, and I got really spooked. Now, when you drive through Atlanta, there's like, what, 5 or 6 lanes going each way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those lanes are narrow, so you have to pay attention. Okay, and then all of a sudden, my screen in the car goes on, something about my password. And I'm thinking, what? Now I'm thinking, oh, and I can't look over there because I'll be crashing.
Yeah.
And then my telephone numbers started to come up on the screen. And I thought somebody has just got into my Wi-Fi. One of these cars around me just got into my Wi-Fi, and it threw me for a loop. I was really thinking to myself, how can I take care of this? And, of course, I didn't come up with an answer at the time.
Right. Wow. Yeah. And you hear about that technology being in malls and, stuff like that where people are – or restaurants and, where you got to tap into the Wi-Fi of the restaurant or whatever it is. And, some people in there, they're just seeing whose stuff they can access.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the same thing driving down the road in a traffic jam,
Well, yeah, because your Wi-Fi is putting out a signal, and that signal is available to anybody who has the apparatus to be able to get into it.
Yep. Amen. And like I said, that video is, I love the detail in the video because they're talking about, once you plug that USB port in, everything on that phone's downloaded to that car.
Oh.
So that's where you set all your contacts and your text messages and your pictures. And then the video even said that someone was using a rental car and download, because I've done that when I traveled. I'd plug in the USB and I'd use the GPS and all that. Didn't you think that when you left, and 10 people later, someone gets in there and say, well, let's see what information I can get now and sell online. And bam! It's all right. Every person that rented that car for the last 6 months is right there,
Well, that brings up an excellent point, and that is that when you get a new phone and they want your old phone or you're going to give it to somebody else, then you do a master reset and you wipe it all clean.
Yeah.
Who thinks to think to themselves, oh, I need to wipe this, my car?
How do you even
clean.
Do that? How do
exactly.
you even do it?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. This is all leading us towards the day when, Big Brother is actually going to control every aspect of our lives. And if we get out of step, they'll be able to swoop in and basically, correct your actions, let's say. You know, these are definitely the days that the Bible calls the end times. Speaking of which,
yeah.
Have you heard about this low-frequency hum that's being heard basically around the world? I haven't heard it personally, but I know it's been on the news, even on the local news, and I've seen a television special about it. Have you heard about it?
Yeah, so something that I've been following because it really creeped me out when it started to happen in 2011, 2012. And I will tell you that that was the 2012. My friend Pastor Phil was coming up into my area to a church. And it was at the same time that the NATO had decided that they were going to hold their meeting in downtown Chicago. Now, that's bad because what happens is that people from around the world come to protest, and it usually gets pretty violent, and a lot of rioting and stuff takes place. So at the same time that NATO is into Chicago and they are getting ready for this, and then the Chicago police handled it really well because it was the least city damaged in the history there of their conventions. But at the same time, I had this unbelievable dream with specific details. And the details were is that what would be called reverse drainage, which is volcanoes, which we'll get to later, okay, atmospheric sounds, mm-hmm. earthquakes, and one that I really haven't seen too much on was lateral shock waves. Okay, so since that time, I've been really paying attention, and I'm trying to figure out, well, how does that correlate into information? But as we move down the road, we're starting to see this stuff because those atmospheric sounds are happening on a regular basis to where these are driving people crazy because the hum never stops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you know, I have, because of my military time, I've got bad ringing in the ears. And have you ever heard that little, ever played with it, that mosquito app? That
makes yeah.
It, you know, and different people can hear different frequencies. I can turn this thing on and have it right next to my, I hold it up to my ear and not hear anything. And my family's sitting all the way across the room, like, turn that thing off, you know. That's all I hear in both ears is ringing. And I've got it to the point, you know, by playing with it, where I could just barely hear it, right?
Uh-huh.
I was at a workman's compensation hearing to determine the amount of disability and stuff I was going to receive, and that was one of the things. And the judge asked me, well, you say you have ringing in the ears, you know, how bad is it? I said, well, let me show you. And I'm on the stand, right? I pull out this mosquito app, and I turned it on, and I held up my ear and said, I don't hear this at all. And she's like, turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm holding it right into my ear, and I do not hear it at all. And she just started writing. Okay, that's proof.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I had all the good medical stuff as well, but that was a hands-on example, right? Some
yeah.
people, and that television special we were talking about, you know, it tried to attribute the hum to, you know, air vents and that some people are just, you know, more susceptible to hearing. They had plotted, you know, all the locations and whatever. But, you know, it is true that some people are more susceptible to hearing things than other people are. But, you know, they still didn't explain the air vents, really. You know,
yeah.
In different countries, all over the world, in the country, in the city, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what they tried to explain away. But
well, in the beginning, I was very concerned. I'm thinking, okay, what's going on with the Earth, and how is this going to affect us in the long run? And when it came down to it, there really hasn't been any kind of adverse effects other than to the human beings that constantly hear it, or yeah. the freaking out when it sounds like trumpets. No. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't had a negative effect. So that's the thing that now you discount it and kind of move on,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Except for the people who are thinking all. It reminds me of a scene where I saw William Shatner. And he was saying that because of his TV career where there was a lot of noises and explosions and stuff like that, he started to have ringing in the ears to where he was thinking, this is bad. He said he was almost suicidal because he couldn't get it. And then he learned to tune it out.
Yeah. And that's basically what I've done, too. You know, sometimes, like, especially if it's really quiet, like at night, all I hear is that it's constant sound.
But
it's you just tune it out and get on with life.
And that's what I think we're doing with some of this stuff that is going on around us, especially in the signs of our day. You know, mm-hmm. all the stuff that we're talking about here, what happens is that people start tuning it out unless it's personally affecting them, and then it becomes paramount.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you another example. We lived near an airport when I was growing up, and you know, the sound of planes, you know, these weren't, it wasn't a jetliner airport, you know, like, you know, O'Hare or anything like that. It was a county airport, but you know, planes would land all day long and well into the night, you know, just coming in, going. And my friends would come over and say, how can you sleep? I said, what do you mean? He says, oh, that's all I kept hearing. Every time I get ready to fall asleep, another plane would fly away. I said, really? I didn't hear nothing.
You
know?
Yeah.
He just tuned it out. But you know, yeah. Another sign that the Bible says will take place just before the return of Jesus is an increase in earthquakes in, the Bible says, diverse places or various places. Have you seen the number of large earthquakes that have been happening all over the world lately?
Well, that has really kind of shocked me. And the reason is that we are seeing this transition take place because in the last broadcast, we were talking about how God's going to get people's attention by getting more, increasing his tone, like his parental tone, mm-hmm. you know? And then come January, and all of a sudden, because earthquakes kind of sometimes go in waves, you know, or cycles, right? And the big earthquakes, to me, I wasn't catching my attention until like January 1st. And then I started to notice, well, wait a minute, they're starting to happen again. Like the six, a number of sixes in just the first couple of weeks, there was 11 sixes and there's was 1.7. Yeah. And so as I started to look at that, now here's something that I didn't put on the list that I was paying attention to, is up in the Cascadia zone. They have this thing that's this phenomenon that is called a slow slip. As the one plate's going underneath another, that's where the volcanoes come in. But as they're going into one after another, they have like 700 mini earthquakes a day as these plates are moving underneath each other, which in a sense kind of like shows a good sign because they're not locked. Those plates aren't locked, which means that they could have a devastating earthquake if it rips free. Whereas there's other areas like in the San Andreas that has been locked for decades and we're trying to figure out, oh, gee, what's going to happen there? Okay, but there has been this kind of like uptick in earthquakes and strong earthquakes in just the last 4 weeks. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, because it connects with these other things that are going on too. It's not just one phenomena. We got like several going on at one time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if these earthquakes aren't linked to the increase in, we just mentioned, the volcanic activity that has been increasing around the world as well. I mean, these eruptions are happening more frequently, and especially around what we've talked about before, the Ring of Fire regions of the world. Have you seen that as well?
Well, okay, so at the same time I'm watching these doggone earthquake videos that are taking place, I'm seeing these videos where there are volcanoes that are popping off. Now, normally, you know, there is a number of volcanoes that are going off all the time, like the one in Hawaii that has been in eruption for over 50 days, I think, now, where there's constant flow of magma coming out. Now, but here's the thing is that there is about 48, and I know that there's been as many as 50 in recent past of earthquakes, volcanoes that have been erupting, all right? But the thing that surprises me is I watch them on the videos, right? And they're not these big, magnanimous eruptions. They're like small, gentle eruptions. And that, like, I'm thinking is really kind of strange. I'm scratching my head as I'm talking about this, you know, because it seems kind of fascinating. Now, down in the Caribbean, there is an island down there, and I can't remember. It's one of those saint ones, you know, where they have a volcano that has been pushing up a dome for the last couple of months. And so it keeps on increasing. And they're thinking, gee, this is a small island. Is this thing going to erupt?
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's portion of this interview with Tom Donnan. My goodness, every time Tom comes on, we just have so much interesting facts that are going on in the world that we need to talk about. And I let this go as far as I could go, but we have to stop at this point. You need to come back and catch up with us tomorrow as we conclude this great interview with Tom Donnan. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss the things he's going to be sharing tomorrow. It just gets better and better and better. And I can't describe it any other way except you need to come back and stay with us during this interview as we are discussing signs of dangerous times in which we live. Amen? So for Tom Donnan and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.